It's about time for the news, according to me. Well, it has been about 3 years since I've had a broadcast. Seems like. It just seems like that long. I don't think it's been quite that long. But I'm being told by my producer. I don't have a producer, just so you know. There's no producer. I produce this thing myself. But if I had a producer, my producer would probably say, it's been way too long since you've been on here. It is July 31st right now, as I'm recording this. And I'm not sure if I'm going to post it or not today. I may not post it today. I may start doing shows in collectives. And I know that's not quite as up-to-date as some things are. But I don't think you tune into this show to get up-to-date information. Maybe you do. Because in the past, I have had pretty up-to-date stuff, like stuff that happened that day. And even my prognostication on what was happening tomorrow. But I have a few things that I want to, I really need to get off my chest. And I have 2 days off, basically, here. And I've got, actually, no, I have to go back to work tomorrow, actually. Next week, I do have some time off, and I'm hoping to get a couple shows a day in next week. However, I'm thinking about doing smaller, shorter shows that are a little bit more one-topiced and a little bit more powerful. That's my thought. I'm going to call this the weekend update. There's a lot of things that I want to get off my chest because a lot of things have been going on the last couple weeks that I have not really been able to discuss with myself here on this podcast. And to get you to weigh in. Now, if you have a chance to answer some questions, if there's a way you can type back or message me, just let me know your opinions. I might read them next time on the show because we are in the midst of something, and I've really got to get my other channel going. I've been doing some recording for it. It's going to be a daily show. It's going to be like a little 5 to 10 minute. Conspiracy theory history lesson. I'm gonna pick a conspiracy theory from the past and just tell a little story. And then once a week I will have a longer version that will be a little bit more interesting, a little bit more up to date, like in the what's happening now kind of conspiracy type stuff. And there will be a bit of a spiritual aspect to it. If you're a believer, you'll understand. If you're not a believer, that's okay. You can still listen anyway. I'm not threatened by your unbelief. Which brings up a little point. This last week, by the way, I have no cup. That's why my throat is kind of raspy. I do have some water here, though. I got a bottle of water. That's about 3 years old. Wonder how good that could be. It's about half used. As far as I know, I was the last person to use it. It still tastes okay. Yeah, that's how dry my throat is. It actually, my throat reacted to it. I've been out doing yard work here at the office. The yard hasn't been mowed for a couple of weeks, and if I don't mow it, the powers that be come by and tell me that I need to mow my yard or they're going to find me. So, and of course the powers that be are the city personnel, the code enforcement people. So I was in this conversation with a fellow this last week, and he was an interesting individual. I mean, I had a chance to work with the guy, alongside the guy. He made some comments about religion. And, you know, I happen to think, you know, it's not about, for me, anyway, I am not threatened by someone else's unbelief or their I guess, you know, if someone else is cussing near me and using the Lord's name in vain and doing all kinds of profane things, I could take offense to that. It'd be very easy for me to be offended by that. But literally, when it's actually coming from a non-believer, an unbeliever, I don't expect anything more than that. I guess I'm not offended by it because I don't expect it. I don't expect anything different. Now, if a pastor of a church was continually using that kind of language around me, I would probably have a little bit more of an issue with it. Maybe. I don't know. Again, it doesn't affect my belief and my faith. It doesn't threaten me. And it certainly doesn't threaten God. It, you know, often we think of things that offend God. I think that the things that offend God are not necessarily what we sometimes believe. Just because they offend us doesn't mean they offend Him. The most offensive person on the planet still has a flow of blood from a cross to forgive them. And I have to keep that perspective in my mind and in my heart, because that is the end of the day, the bottom line, where we need to be. If you think for a moment that you have reached perfection in your own self, well, then you don't even need God. If you think in your walk of faith, I recently heard I'm going to go down this road. I didn't plan on going down this road. It was not in my notes. I have notes up here. I've got like five words written down in front of me. Those are my notes. That's why I go off on tangents like this. I heard a pastor one time. He was talking about this conference that he went to. It was a pastor's conference. A small group, about 15 people. And this one pastor was in charge of praying before at the beginning of every session. And he was one of the pastors, it was, I guess. And this pastor was telling a story, and I didn't, he wasn't in the room. I was actually listening to this story on, it was a recorded story, much like this podcast. So he was going on about this guy who would pray, and at the end he would say, Lord, forgive us for our many sins. And this pastor had a problem with that pastor saying that. Now, he said, I need to talk to him about his many sins. What are these many sins he needs to be forgiven for? Okay, I get it. Okay, so, however, let's get down to this for a moment. There are not just sins of commission. There are sins of omission. There are the things that we shouldn't do, and there are the things that we should do. And if you're telling me for a moment that you're fulfilling all those things, that you haven't got a rotten, selfish thought in your head throughout the day, I just want to congratulate you for not being a human being. Because, frankly, and this is just, now this is not to excuse sin. Don't get me wrong. It is dirty, ugly, and it caused someone's death. Someone had to die because of that sin. And it will either be you, or you will accept the sacrifice made in your place. So that's the choice you have before you. Now, having said all that, this conversation I was having with this guy, I didn't get a chance to put a word in edgewise. I was just along for the ride. Let him share. It was one of those things where I could tell he really just needed to know that he was being listened to. That his opinion and his heart was important. That it was worth listening to his opinions. Really, whether he was wrong or not. So I did that. And I didn't let what he was saying faze me. He said some things about faith, about religion. He had been involved in the war in Afghanistan. And after the war, he was involved as a contractor. And he was doing some very covert things. And of course, he wasn't involved. He didn't have to abide by the rules of engagement of the military when he was operating as a contractor. He wasn't hired by the U.S. government as a contractor. And he confessed that his moral compass went a little bit, got a little bit messed up. And he would do things that the military would have been court-martialed for. So, I got the feeling that he just needed to get that off his chest. And I wasn't going to come down on the guy and start telling him that he's an immoral. Whatever. And I think that there needs to be a level of mutual respect in some ways. There's a balance here of respect and being willing to share the gospel and being salt and light and being effective in the world at the same time that we have a modicum of respect for the unbeliever. And I think that I've run into quite a few, especially pastors. Not all of them, of course. Not even the majority of them. But there are several of them out there that I know of that I've seen this attitude towards unbelievers that just shocks me sometimes. And there is this statement of "there, but for the grace of God go I." And it's not so much that His grace is different for me than it is for the other person. It's that I accepted it. If I had not accepted His grace and His mercy, there I would be right there. It's not a self-righteous, uppity statement to make. Because that same grace is available to that other individual. It's, if I hadn't accepted that grace, I would be, or could be, in the same shoes as that other individual. Now, this is very different than the parable of the man who walked into the synagogue and said, "I thank my God that I'm not like that sinner over there." As he prayed unto himself, was the way the story went. As he prayed unto himself, "I thank my God that I'm not like that sinner over there." Of course, the repentant man was over, that he was pointing at, that he was talking about, was over there pounding his chest and grieving for his sin. He walked away cleansed. So, I think that our perspective sometimes can become one, we're so, in this Western culture, we are so caught up in some of the religiousness that we know. And so much of our Western Christianity, in fact, is based on Reformed Catholicism and not fulfilled Judaism. Jesus was born a Jew. He lived as a Jew. He taught as a Jew. In fact, as a Pharisee, basically. He preached in the synagogues, if you will, if you want to call it preaching. He also was crucified as a Jew. And he was a Jew when he ascended to heaven. I don't know why we think he's going to come back as some guy in a particular robe with a pointy little hat. I just don't, I mean no disrespect to the, to that religion. I'm just saying that sometimes religions can be, can become so caught up in themselves. And they develop a lot of very deep and interesting and meaningful symbology. However, they can also become extremely distant from the one that they sought to exalt. They become self-exalting in some ways. So, I digress. This did not go in the direction I wanted it to. I'm already 15 minutes in to a 15-minute show. So this is going to be a longer show than that. Because I do want to get on to some other things. One is, have you noticed, all of a sudden, since a certain person got into office, the former vice president, that there's no longer on the evening news, I don't see any sign of any kind of death toll counter. That's all we had. Anybody who died, if they were anywhere near someone who said the word COVID, then they died of COVID. We went from like 200,000 people, like 2 weeks before the inauguration, to 400,000 people dead because of COVID the night before the inauguration. Now, and go back and look for yourself. Look at the records of any kind of news shows that have anything posted back in like January, I don't know, January 7th or 8th, right in there. Well, of course, all the news was about the insurrection. We'll get into that as well. But the death toll counter, it jumped up within 2 weeks. It was like it went from 200,000 to 400,000 the night before that. All of a sudden, there was 400. The last I heard, it was like 2 or 3 days before the inauguration, there was like 300,000. It hadn't even reached 300,000 yet. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden's doing a ceremony the night before the inauguration. He's not even the president yet. He's doing a dedication ceremony to all those lives lost, 400,000 people lost. Now, I am convinced that they chummed that number. Now, we found out later on that that in California, there was about 25,000 people that they were on the death toll counter that died of COVID that were miscounted because of the way they were counting people, that they overcounted. I don't know how many other states did that, but California was caught doing that. That was a little blip on the radar with news broadcasts, and I guarantee MSNBC and CNN did not have time to put it on because they were too busy talking about the former president. And they've gone off the rails. MSNBC has gone off the deep end. They continue to talk about Trump's going to jail, Trump's going to jail, Trump's going to jail. That's all they talk about now. Everybody around him is dropping like flies. They're all talking. But it's just more and more of this. And now they've gone after his taxes, his tax returns. Okay, big whoop. Nobody cares about him. I guarantee you that if they are trying like crazy to find a way to keep this guy from running again. If 81 million people, 7 million more people turned out to vote for this current occupier of the White House, what are they worried about? They don't think those same 7 million people are going to show up again? And I guarantee you, there are people who are talking like, I think it was Bill O'Reilly, had the audacity to come out and say, Joe Biden's chances of re-election are very slim. He's making a bold prediction here that Joe Biden won't be able to be re-elected. Joe Biden hasn't been in office for a year. And we're already talking about when he's going to leave. He's not running again. Bill. There is not a chance that Joe Biden, in his 80s, in the state that he's in now, is going to be able to run for office 3 years from now, 3.5 years from now. Are you kidding me? This guy is in escalating decline. As I have said, by the end of this year, now I do have a theory on some of this stuff. And I'm starting to put some of these things together. And this is why I really had to do this show. And it's why I really need to get the conspiracy theory show going, because that it's more about the conspiracy theory itself. And I would get more into the details on that show than I will on this one. But let me just say this. There is a huge push right now, in case you haven't noticed, to get everybody vaxxed. It is message number one from the White House, from the media, the legacy media, and Hollywood, and all the blue states. When they are all in unison, there is something going on. And they are all, right now, in unison, blaming the unvaxxed for the current rise in cases. There was a small blurb put out by the New York Times. I believe it was the New York Times. And I've been looking for this. I haven't looked very hard, but I did. I got some credible sources that told me about this. I'm going to just be right up front with you. I did not read this article, but I believe the sources that told me, because I've never been told wrong by these people. In fact, I'll just do a quick search here. New York. I'm going to show you how to do this. You type in New York Times, and then you put in vaccinated virus carriers. Let's just put in, what it says. I'm using DuckDuckGo. Vaccinated people may spread the virus, though rarely. Of course, that's different than what they posted earlier. This was, when was this done? This was, there's no date on that one. Why is there no date on this? One day ago. Why vaccinated people are getting breakthrough. In any case, immune defenses primed by the vaccines should recognize the virus soon after infection and destroy it before significant damage occurs. So they're claiming now that if you have the vaccine, if you get the virus, it's not going to be as bad because they have the vaccine. This is a straw man argument for this thing. This bugs the daylights out of me. This is like, well, everybody's wearing masks now, but then there's a huge outbreak. Imagine what it would be like if we weren't wearing masks. This was an observation made by somebody on Facebook one time. A buddy of mine, he said, have you noticed? He happened to notice that with the mask mandate, all of a sudden everybody started wearing masks last fall. When all of a sudden we can start wearing masks. I've got pictures, screenshots of statements being made by the former Surgeon General, Fauci, I call him, and other doctors saying that masks don't wear masks, they aren't effective on the virus. And the Surgeon General said the same thing. Scolding people for wearing masks. Stop buying masks, they said. They're not effective. Now, if they would have said, stop buying masks because our frontline workers need them, okay, I get it. But now all of a sudden this magic mask is being said to slow the spread. It's not going to stop the spread. Folks, this virus will not go away until it's run its course. And here's my opinion. The faster it runs its course, and I know that people will die because of it. Don't get me wrong. For some people, this is a deadly disease. For a small percentage of the population, yes, this is, it's very hazardous and deadly. But there are some people, if we continue to let this thing lag and just continue to go and slow it down so that we're not overwhelmed by it, this gives more opportunity, in my opinion. Just to me, it makes sense that we give it more opportunity for the variants to spread as well. I just think that the longer we let this thing go among us, and we try to shut down things, we try to do all this kind of stuff that slow the spread, I say just expose everybody and let us drop. Let whoever's going to drop, and then we get over it. It's done. I had it. I had very mild symptoms. Some people had it, didn't have any symptoms. Now, those same people who, if they would have gotten vaccinated and then got the virus, they would say, well, you didn't get any symptoms because it was... Not everybody who gets this has symptoms. So the breakthroughs of the people who have been vaccinated... Now, I've got this extreme, very bad hunch about some things and the way things are being pressed in the press right now and in the media. If this turns out to be what my hunch is, this is all just a hunch. It's all speculation on my part. I believe they're putting pressure right now on the FDA to get this thing FDA approved, because right now it's under an emergency use authorization. It is an experimental drug, and there are still businesses that are requiring you to have it, and there are businesses that are requiring you to have it before you get hired. Well, good luck with that. So, this is my opinion. I really hesitate, as you can tell. I'm hesitating to share this theory. I know it's not going to go very far, but this is my theory. I think there's a problem with these vaccines, the mRNA vaccines. It's the same problem that they had during clinical trials several years ago. This technology has been out for, I think, over 12 years, as I understand it. There have been problems in all clinical studies of this thing. Now, if you look online and you try to do a search, it's going to show you that there are all kinds of, this is the wonderfulness of the mRNA vaccine, which is the mRNA. It's a small m, capital RNA. This synthetic vaccine. It does not change your DNA. What it does change is it changes the memory in your T cells, the way I understand it. And here's the problem. We recently heard of a group of Democrat legislators from Texas who skipped town because they didn't want to have to vote. If they showed up for work that they get paid to do, they were elected to do, if they would have showed up for work, there would have been a quorum and they could have voted on a particular voting legislation. So they decided not to do that. They all decided to get on a private plane and go to D.C., go to the Dominican Republic. Or the District of Criminals, however you want to call it. They headed off to Washington, D.C. In the process of going to Washington, D.C., they were on this private plane, drinking beer and doing whatever they were doing. I think there was about 17 of them or 12 of them. I don't know, there's about 17. I think there's a bunch of them. 17 of them, I think. And so it was a pretty good-sized airplane. They flew into D.C., had some meetings with various people, and they were throwing a big party, having a good old time. And of course, I think they took off with basically this attitude of they didn't take much stuff with them. They didn't really pack for this event, because now they're asking for care packages because they're running out of stuff. They're asking people online to send them care packages. You know what? Go out and buy your stuff. I travel a lot. If I run out of something, I just go out and have to go out and buy something else. So these people go. They're all vaccinated, mind you. Well, they claim they were. Initially, three or four of them got COVID. Then it was five. Then it was six. Now, we haven't heard of any more, but I guarantee you if there are any more, we won't be told about it, because that started coming down, became very bad optics for the folks that went up there. Now, keep in mind, they weren't wearing masks in the pictures when they were on the plane, on this private plane. They were all vaccinated. Now, this article that has been scrubbed from the internet, apparently, because it's not here anymore. I wish I had taken a screenshot of it, and I will find it, because I'm sure it's out there in some archive somewhere. This might be it right here. Yeah, they're being blamed. They're being excoriated here by some people for this article that they put out. What the article was that they put out was that basically vaccinated people can actually carry higher levels of the virus and spread it unknowingly. The CDC says, this is a CDC statement, people may transmit the virus. Vaccinated people may transmit the virus, which is why they're recommending everybody wear masks again, even if you've been vaccinated. Okay, here's the problem, folks. The vaccine, apparently, is not as effective as I thought. Now, of course, you know, this magic vaccine is supposedly better than actually having had COVID. And if you tell someone, well, I had COVID, well, but you don't know how long those antibodies are going to last. Well, you don't know how long the vaccine's going to last. And apparently it doesn't last that long, because now they're talking about a third shot. So there's just a whole lot of pressure being put on people to take a vaccine. This is where I have the problem. Whether you want to take the vaccine or not is your business. Good for you if you want to take it. And if you don't, good for you. The problem is, there are already people out there saying, well, you shouldn't be allowed to go to the grocery store. You shouldn't be allowed to go here. You shouldn't be allowed to go there. You shouldn't be allowed to leave your house if you haven't taken the vaccine. You're not sick, but you shouldn't leave because you haven't taken the vaccine. However, if you have taken the vaccine, you can carry the virus and not know it. But you're allowed to go anywhere you want to, as long as you're wearing a mask, because you're still carrying the vaccine, or you're still carrying the virus, even though you've been vaccinated. This is the kind of logic and ridiculous mentality that we have right now in this country. And it's a little bit freaky to me. Now, I'm going to disclose something to most of you. I work for an employer, my side job, that I probably, at some point, they're going to request that everyone be, especially when this thing's FDA approved, they're going to request it. They're going to mandate it. I'm pretty sure. My recommendation to anyone in that position, if you're not going to take it, do not quit your job. If they say, we're going to mandate this, you either have to quit or you have to take the vaccine. Do not quit your job. Make them terminate you. Because I believe at some point in this whole thing, there is going to be some grounds for wrongful termination lawsuits. Do not resign on your own accord. I know a lot of people who will. They're going to run from this thing. They're going to say, I'm not taking it. I'm leaving. And believe me, there's plenty of other work out there. There's plenty of jobs out there. And there's plenty of employers out there who will hire you regardless of this whole thing. Now, if you're in the healthcare industry, that may not be the case, because the healthcare industry is being very pushy about everyone being vaccinated. So that may be a little bit of a problem for you. But believe me, there's still work out there. Now, having said all of that, again, whether you take the virus, the vaccine or not is up to you. There is some things happening in the next 6 months, in my opinion. Information is going to come out about this thing. I think that there is an onslaught of information that's going to come out about the vaccines. And there's going to be some blame game stuff happening. And again, of course, the blame will be put on a certain individual. And we all know who gets blamed for everything, and anyone who voted for him. So I'm just, mark my word, this is my prognostication, or whatever that is. I'm not sure what that word means. This is my prediction. They need to get as many jabs as they can into people right now. And there's a reason why they're pushing that, and I've got some theories about that as well. I believe that not all the side effects of this thing will be known for for over a year from now. Or probably a year from now, we'll start finding out about some of the side effects of this thing. By the end of this year, it's going to start looking... They've got to get everybody jabbed before the election season starts for the midterms. My opinion is, if they don't have this thing under control and there's another outbreak and we start doing another shutdown, closer to the election time, it is really going to damage the chances for the Democrats in 2022. Now, that being said, that leads us down another avenue. The whole election audit thing. And what the Dems are doing with this threat about the machines. If you come in and do an audit, we have to have new machines. We can't use the same machines if you come in and do an audit on the machines. The machines are supposedly certified prior to the election. The machines are supposedly flashed with firmware from the company or the side company that built the things. Simply looking into the machines and looking at the machines and looking at the hardware on the machines and software on the machines does not mean you can't go in and reflash them with firmware. You don't have to buy new machines. You have to spend millions of dollars and give millions of dollars to certain organizations that built these machines. However, they're threatening that the taxpayers have to pay all this money out. They're millions of dollars. Look at the money we have to spend now, because they're out there spending trillions of dollars on what's called infrastructure. Well, voting machines would be considered infrastructure before social programs would be considered infrastructure, but that's a whole other story. So I'm not so sure that what we're seeing here is legitimate, to put it lightly. Yeah. So anyway, I would like to go from there to talk about the insurrectionists. This is a very troubling topic now for me, and it's bigger, I think, than what I can do in the rest of this show. I think I'm going to have to dedicate an entire episode to this whole theatrical event that's going on in this committee, this council that's investigating. This is made for TV crap. It's all sound bites, sound clips, bunch of liars. And I don't use that term very often. But I'm telling you, these people are lying. Some of these individuals who are giving testimony, they're not their testimonies. Go back and read some of the things that they've posted on social media in the past. You'll find out who these people are. If you think that Nancy Pelosi only handpicked the senators, or the congressmen, I should say, who are on this committee, didn't allow the Republicans to seat their own people. And you get Kinzinger and what's her name? But they're on this committee, and they're both rabid never Trumpers. And they're still trying to go back and say, in fact, one of the officers had the audacity to say, well, the hitman was, when a hitman hires somebody to kill somebody, you arrest the person who tried to kill him, but then you also convict the hitman. Well, who was the hitman? Well, of course, it's Trump. Trump told him to do it. Everybody that we talked to said that Trump told him to come there. Okay, explain to me and tell me, show me the clips of Trump saying that he was supposed to go, they're supposed to go there and break in to the White House. That this planned insurrection of some kind. We don't even have any evidence that the people who were out there doing things to the police officers weren't provocateurs. We know for a fact that the FBI infiltrated a lot of these groups and didn't just infiltrate them for the purpose of seeing what they were up to. They were leading and guiding them. Talk to the guys who attempted to supposedly kidnap Governor Whitmer. Come to find out, I think the majority of the people were either informants or actual FBI agents in that group. They were providing access and materials. This is an entrapment setup. I can't get beyond. The more I learn about it, the more it looks, it's just like, you set them up incredibly. And this was all for political posturing. It's all for the show. It was all to get sympathy from people, and I saw it happen. Whenever you talk about it, well, they tried to kidnap her. They who? Yeah. So, I digress. The insurrection, supposedly, that happened on January 6th is something that needs a lot more scrutiny. And scrutiny. There's no T there. Scrutiny. And I'm going to talk more about that in a later episode. In the meantime, I think that we will just have to say that this show is about over for today. So, this next week, I know there will not be a show. Will there be a show on Monday? There will not be a show on Monday. There may be a show on Sunday, unless I post this show on Monday. That's a possibility. I might do a show early tomorrow morning that might post Monday evening. We'll see how that goes. But it's not going to be live. Neither one of them will be live. However, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and probably Friday, I'm going to have live shows in the afternoon. That's my plan. So, hope the rest of you having a great weekend and a great week ahead of you. God bless. This is the News According to Me. See you later.